The Mara Show.
And that's the bottom line, because John McCain said so.
Yummy!
It's the Mike.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to chat with Rob Roy McInnes in just a second here. Want to remind you, if you'd like to join us, we're all going to be out at a wonderful Cinco de Mayo party that's coming up this Saturday.
Come see us.
Join us at L'Oreal Plaza Restaurant, 18th Street Northwest. We'll all be down there. I mean, Buzz, Rob, Bethann, Joe, Robert the Angry Mailman.
He said he's coming down.
Okay. He asked. Like he has to ask. I said, of course you can come. Everybody's coming to this thing.
That's polite, though.
4:30 till 6:30 this coming Saturday, downtown D.C. We want to see you there, and we're very, very excited about having a big old Cinco de Mayo party, all brought to you by Dos Equis. Mm. Drink responsibly and stay thirsty, my friends.
Delicious stuff.
Without further ado, let's get to this gentleman. Rob Roy, are you there?
Yes.
Rob Roy, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to explain to our listeners before we start chatting with you here that I first became aware of you reading a wonderful article in the Washington Post about all these creatures, lizards, snakes and stuff that occasionally might get into the canals down in South Florida. And then the whole interview was with this guy, Rob Roy McInnes, and I'm fascinated by insects. You actually sell these kind of creatures. How many creatures do you have at your place, Rob Roy? And it's called Glades Herp Farm, right?
Right.
And herp, not has anything to do with herpes or anything like that. It's like it's like herpetology, correct?
Right. It's like herptile. It's kind of a catch-all term that includes amphibians and reptiles.
Now, you got a bunch of stuff down there. Bethann told me right before you got on the air that you said you've got a lot going on. Nothing escaped, did it?
No problems with that today. Just some shipping issues and, just everyday hassles.
Are there tricks to shipping animals, snakes?
But yeah, they got to be packed correctly. You know, you don't want anything escaping, and then you know sometimes the customer's not home, and there's always issues. You know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you got a bunch of stuff. How many at this moment? How many creatures, creepy crawlers, do you have that are for sale at your herp farm?
I don't really have an exact number like that, but thousands.
Thousands. So wow. You got just lots of everything, and I mean we're talking cobras, scorpions, tarantulas. How much pressure do you get from fish and game authorities when I'm reading articles about they're worried about, you know, pythons getting into somebody's backyard in Florida? You get a lot of pressure from the authorities?
Well, we have a good relationship with Florida Fish and Wildlife, and, you know, they had a bunch of meetings after the pythons became established, and they changed the regulations here and require, you know, much more stringent regulations for keeping them as pets and for dealing in them. And we worked out a deal, I think, that was workable for both, you know, people that are interested in being in the business and then also keeping them as pets. That's good for everybody. But now we're faced with the federal Fish and Wildlife. They have similar names, only different levels.
Right.
And, you know, of course, the feds want to list these pythons as injurious animals.
Now, when you're talking about, let me just interrupt you for a second because I want to explain. When we're talking about pythons getting established, you're talking about pythons that come from another part of the world getting established down in South Florida, down in the Everglades, because there's so many of them. This doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with anybody that might have purchased them. They escape and they get into the canals, and because of the ecosystem down there, they thrive, right?
Right. Well, that's one of the big issues. I mean, the snakes are established, and that is a fact. Nobody's going to dispute that. And their own biologists are saying that these are permanently established. In other words, they can have control measures for the next 100 years, but they're never going to eradicate them. They're there for good.
So when you're down in South Florida and you you come across an alligator, that's going to be one thing. But now you might very well be out and about, and you're going fishing in the Everglades down there, and you might see one of these giant pythons. How big do these things get?
Well, they can get up to 15 foot. I mean, this is an animal that's common to Southeast Asia, you know, throughout Vietnam and all the way into India and all over. And this is a snake that, lives under people's houses and all over Southeast Asia. It's not really a big problem for people. In fact, it's a major resource for them for the hide trade and meat and for also for breeding them and selling babies for the pet trade. Hmm.
How did you get into the business of rescuing and then selling these exotic creatures?
I started when I was 6 years old, believe it or not. My brother came home with a couple of snakes in a jar, and I was hooked, you know.
Wow. What are the most deadly animals that you sell to people?
Well, we sell some of the most deadly snakes taipans, cobras, you know, some of the most deadly snakes on earth.
Wow. And that's cool that people don't like for example, I'm thinking somebody wants like a cobra.
Yeah.
You can put that like in a box and send it to somebody.
Well, it's not that simple. I mean, most of the United States, you have to have a license to possess a venomous snake. So,
right.
So yeah, you prove that you have the license, then we pack it, you know, as per regulation in a double wooden crate, and it has to go air freight, you know, that you can't do it FedEx or UPS or whatever. And then, they pick it up at the airport.
I would imagine this is not the type of thing where, like proflowers.com, where I can put my mother's, name and then ship the cobra to her without her knowing about it, and it'll be a nice big surprise.
Well, I've been in the business a long time. I have had, at least one phone call where a guy basically, hey, I want to buy a rattlesnake and send it to my mother-in-law. Yeah.
Very scary.
You get those crazy calls, and you just write them off as crazy.
How do you acquire your creatures? How do you get all these things? And we're talking about cobras, taipans. You sell scorpions as well.
Yeah.
Tarantulas.
Well, not from one source. We bring animals from other parts of the world. We buy from other importers. But more and more, the business is being taken over by animals that are produced here in the United States.
I mean, like farm-raised?
Right, farm-raised. Okay. Most of the Burmese pythons that are for sale in the United States were all born here. So there's not very many imported from overseas anymore.
There are python farms?
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you start your day, first of all, your place is huge if you have thousands of people. I mean, thousands of creatures there. The people that are working for you, or when you're making your rounds and you're walking around, what is the type of animal that you're the most careful when you're dealing with it?
Well, me personally, I'm not comfortable with things that weigh more than me. And we do have adult crocodiles, and that makes me a little nervous. But
so when you say you have adult crocodiles, do you trade in those too? Could somebody buy a full-grown alligator or crocodile from you?
Sure.
Why?
Sure. Again, you.
That's a good question.
I mean, if it's a zoo that needs one for a display or alligator adventures or one of these outfits. I mean, we don't sell, those type of crocodiles to people to put.
So say I wanted, if I wanted like a full grown crocodile, like a Nile crocodile, which I see on Discovery quite often, and I was to send it to a friend of mine, a gentleman by the name of Michael Hughes, you'd have to like put me through a very intricate screening process before you just send that along, right?
Right. Well, he'd have to prove that he had the license to keep him. Just like the venomous, you got to have a license for crocodiles, and in Florida, that you have to also, there's a 5-acre requirement. You can't have it in an apartment because you have to have at least 5 acres of property and your facility approved before you can have it.
I bet if he met Hughes, he would overlook all that and just send it anyway.
Yeah, you'd make an exception.
It'd be a lot of fun. Is your place open to the public?
It is. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. We don't get a lot of visitors.
Come on in.
Rob, I hang out down in Fort Myers a lot. How close are you to Naples, Fort Myers, that area? Pretty close?
I used to be in Fort Myers before I moved out here on the farm. We had a reptile store in Fort Myers for 10 years.
Right.
But now we're 3 hours north of there. We're about an hour north of Tampa.
Oh, you're an hour north of Tampa.
Yeah, right on I-75.
And you're in the middle part of the state?
Right.
Rob Roy, how often are there incidents at your farm that require, I'm guessing, something like an EpiPen or maybe something a little more like, I mean, if people are bit, they get venom in them. You have to deal with that. Does that happen rarely, common, and is it a big deal?
Well, knock on wood, it's very rare for us. We've never had a serious envenomation, which is really unheard of because most, dealing with the numbers that we have. But, we're very careful and we have, we train our people well. We use tools to keep our hands at a distance. We have gloves that are, made out of this chain material that, they can't bite through. So we have a lot of precautions that we take. But that's not to say that something can't happen. I mean, something can always go wrong.
Now, I'm looking at the article in the Post that I read about this, and one of the things that sparked the article was this thing called the Nile monitor lizard that have apparently gone wild in Cape Coral, Florida.
Right.
And that's threatening local species. Now, how do you feel about all of this? Do you think that some of these animals getting into the ecosystem represent a threat? I mean, or that they'll just, get established, as you said before, and everything will be fine? Or what about this nasty-ass lizard? How big is this lizard, anyway?
Well, you know, maximum size 5 or 6 foot. Both, you know, and historically they were sold in the pet show. Usually they sell the babies, and they're real cute when they're babies.
I don't want that on my golf course.
When
that's
does it
sure.
stop being a lizard and start being a dragon?
Well, that's kind of a sales pitch, but I would say that, you know, I do have a very strong opinion on, you know, introduced animals or invasive species, however you want to label it. You know, and I feel like there's a lot of, there's hundreds, there's literally thousands if you include flowers and plants and insects of introduced species to Florida. I mean, thousands.
Right.
And thousands introduced to the national park. This python's just one of them. Right, and this monitor in Cape Coral. And some of these things potentially can have a detriment to the environment. But, you know, we've been through this. I was born and raised here. You know, I can remember when I was a kid with the walking catfish, you know, when they came out in the news. They said, oh, these walking catfish escaped from this, you know, fish farm.
I remember that. I remember catfish. And that was supposed to be a big deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were going to end bass fishing as we know it. And, you know, everybody was up in an uproar. And
they have the same thing up here in D.C. with the snakehead fish in the Potomac. Right.
Exactly. So. Right. With the walking catfish story, I mean, I asked one of the guys from Fish and Wildlife the other day, I said, you know, whatever happened to the walking catfish? He says, well, just another fish in the canals, you know. I mean, they never caused any problems. We have 20 different species of native catfish. It's just another catfish. So, you know, look, a python's not just another snake. It's you know, considerably bigger than snakes we have here. But
and they can eat alligators, right? Those pythons can eat alligators.
We have one of the largest venomous snakes in North America, the eastern diamondback, that's native to the Everglades. We have alligators. That's another huge predator that's feeding on similar things. So, yes, it is possible that somewhere down the line, and the one that Mr. Snow, the biologist, is most concerned about is this Key Largo wood rat that they had a radio tracking device in one of these rare rats, and they tracked it to a python.
Right.
And, those things are one species that has a very tiny population in the Keys.
So you're saying that you're, when you say the Key Largo wood rat, you're talking about the pythons wiping these out. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. That's what they're worried about. And it is possible that some rare species like that will be affected. But what we're most unhappy about is that they are, for one, they're labeling all snake keepers as villains and saying that we're the responsible for these snakes being irresponsibly released into the Everglades, which is probably not true. Most evidence points to it, you know, being from Hurricane Andrew, which, you know, blew a bunch of different keepers' houses away.
And it sounds really, I mean, listening to you and reading about you, Rob Roy, it does seem like you know, you are very careful about, you know, who you sell these things to. They go through kind of a screening process. Could you tell the story for our listeners about the snake handling preacher? Could you quickly tell that story? I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear about it. This is an amazing story.
Well, I mean, that's just a story. A guy came down to buy snakes from us, he was getting rattlesnakes from where he was from.
He was a snake handling preacher, right? They did the whole thing speaking in tongues and all that, right?
Right. And he wanted to trade, you know, and this and that. And I talked to him about, you know, I said, well, you know, what's the deal with the handling the snakes? I mean, you know, you're free handling them. You're not using any tools. And, you know, you're going to get bit. He said, well, if I get bit, that's God's will. And I said, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, what if do you go to the hospital, you get treatment? No, we leave it up to God. And, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I don't think these snakes are very religious. I think this is, you know, I don't think this is a smart way to, you know, to keep snakes.
And he didn't want a rattlesnake, did he?
No, he traded snakes and bought a cobra. And then
he wanted a cobra.
He didn't last a month. You know,
killed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got an article in the...
Wow.
A friend of his sent me a newspaper clipping saying that he had died from a snake bite and didn't say in the article that it was the cobra, but...
Had to be.
Yeah, he survived a bunch of rattlesnake bites.
What advice would you have for somebody? First, two questions, and they're kind of related. What type of people, you know, besides the people that are in zoos and the licensed people, obviously you do sell them to private owners. What type of people want deadly animals? Is there a certain type? Is it, you know? I would think it'd be the type of. I would profile the guy as somebody like you know, our own Matt Goldstein, a 20-something guy that likes to play a lot of video games.
A pain in the ass.
Is there a type of people who person that wants this?
There's different types. I mean, you can classify them in different categories. You certainly have the people who want things like that for the reason you'd want a fast car or something to show off. You know, you want to be able to say to your buddies, "Hey, I'm macho. I've got a deadly snake." So that is certainly one of the people. And when you see that guy, you know him. You know, the kind of guy that comes in, "Hey, You got any of them beach pythons? What's a beach python? You know, the kind you put around your neck at the beach and the chicks dig it. The macho type is very obvious. But then there's also people that are more into it from a scientific aspect, that they're you know, intrigued by these animals, and they're very interested in different, you know,
would you
species
have...
and rarer species, and so that's what they're looking for. And you know, a lot of people who keep venomous snakes started with frogs or lizards or turtles or corn snakes, you know,
right.
animals. And then, you know, over time they graduated into wanting to do something different and you know. But I do think that it's all a matter of risk management. You know, the people who understand the danger and do everything in their power to keep that risk at a minimum, keep snakes for 30, 40 years and never have a problem, you know.
What advice would you have for somebody that's thinking about it? If somebody, you know, in our listening audience wanted to get a deadly snake, would you, you know,
I would advise that they, you know, if they have already kept snakes, you know, if they've never had a snake, I'd say, hey, get a corn snake or get an aggressive python that'll just bite you, you know.
Hear that, Rob?
Yeah, Mike.
And then you see what happens. And then if they say, well, you know, I've already been that route and I want to try a venomous snake, okay, well then get a copperhead or a snake that won't kill you. It'll just hurt you, but it's not life-threatening, and see how you do with that. And then, you know, but in the end, I mean, it's a free society. It's just, you know, you're allowed to carry a gun. You're allowed to ride a motorcycle. You're allowed to jump out of planes, you know, but that's America. I mean, you should be able to do risky things if that's your interest, as long as it doesn't infringe
Amen.
On other people.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you supply bugs and snakes to movie producers? Are any of your animals used in movies?
Of course, yes.
Cool.
We do a lot of stuff with there's a couple guys in Southern California that buy a lot of things from us for movies. And, you know, even the Geico Gecko, we supplied the gecko for that.
Wow.
You
know,
I thought that was a cartoon.
Well, they got the cartoon, but they have the one commercial that I haven't seen in a year or so, but they show the real geckos, mm-hmm. and the cartoon guy walks up and is talking to him, and the one licks its eyeball.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
Now, speaking of Hollywood and showbiz, have you ever been approached by celebrities? You mentioned the kind of people that want animals like that.
Right.
I would think that sometimes rock stars or
Tommy Lee wants a, you know,
yeah,
wants a cobra.
Sure, yeah, my partner knows Tommy Lee pretty good.
Oh, I just threw that name
of
out.
Of course he does.
Yes. I like that.
Now he was in a band and used to roadie for Poison, and he knows a lot of those guys.
Is it true that the people from Animal Planet said that you were too mellow?
They said I was boring on camera. What the hell is that?
You sound like a mellow kind of guy.
Well, I'll tell you, compared to my, you know, I'm an average looking guy,
uh-huh.
you
right.
know, and my partner's younger and covered with tattoos from head to toe, and just a much more imposing looking guy. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
But when you go out and you know, do you ever like go on snake hunts or anything like that, or try capture? You must have one particular thing that's happened either at your herp farm, which always sounds weird for me saying that, a herp farm, or out in the wild that's happened to you when you were, you know, were trying to get these snakes. Have you ever been in danger yourself or been close to somebody that was?
Oh sure. I've had close calls. I mean, a bunch of times. Boy, it's hard to.
There's so many of them.
I tell you, you know, one was I was in the Everglades and catching water moccasins, and I saw this huge one. I mean, this thing was probably, you know, 4 foot long and is and big around as a Coke can. You know,
huge for for that breed of snake.
God.
A huge snake.
He's crawled up there and he's, you know, he's already knows I'm there and he's pissed and he's gaping. You know, they open their mouth and show their fangs and. But he was on the wrong side of this irrigation ditch. So I thought, well, I'll just, you know, get a running start and jump over the ditch and over the snake because he's down in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'll catch him from the other side where there's not as much vegetation in my way. Well, I get a running start, and I slip and fell just about completely right on top of him.
Ooh.
And how he didn't bite me, I don't know, but I just splash in the water, and I'm panicked, scrambling out of the water. And I look, and then he's still sitting there, and I'm feeling my back. Well, I didn't get bit. Holy, you know, and I was just lucky.
Oh, my God.
I can only imagine.
But you leave it in the hands of experts, isn't that right?
Well, you know, I've been doing it since I was a kid. I love it. I just got back from a snake hunting trip with my son, and we caught a rattlesnake and some copperheads and, you know, had a blast. It's to me, it's the most enjoyable thing that I can do in life. I'd say maybe canoeing, you know, in the outdoors. I love
deadly snakes canoeing.
You put the two together, it's heaven.
Yeah,
and if canoe down the river and you catch moccasins all day, it's wonderful.
And do you have people that are available? Like, you want to plug your place? I mean, if somebody was interested, would you offer
that? Yeah, gherp.com. GHERP.com. That's us.
GHERP.com if you're interested in any of these creepy crawlers. I'm pretty fascinated, and I know you're a mellow guy, but I bet you got a lot of stories to tell. And, you know, if we ever have any reptile questions or deadly snake or spider questions, can we give you another call sometime, Rob Roy?
Sure, no problem.
This is Rob Roy McInnes from Glades Herb Farm. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, sir.
You're a good guy. Have a good day, brother.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. He is mellow, but he deals with those creepy crawlers all
the time. Amazing poll with
I was
Tommy
pretty
Lee.
Riveted by that.
Oh, I could listen to him for a long time.
I mean, but I can understand, you know, what they want on the animal planet is those guys that kill
like,
here we go, it's going to kill me right now, beware.
And instead they get a guy who takes his son canoeing.
Bad news, a programming note on the show. I don't think we have time to play Tard Sharks
today. Can table it and play it another time.
You look disappointed, Beth Ann. Look at the clock. We really don't have time to play Tard Sharks today.
That's fine.
Is that okay with you? But perhaps we will take a peek at our audio vault, and we can ask you about your fabulous idea. What is it called again?
Week of Wallets.
Week of Wallets.
Week of Wallets.
W-E-A-K?
Week of Wallets.
Apparently, Week of Wallets is W-E-A-K.
Another fabulous idea from the Beth Ann Laboratory.
Can't wait.
It's a McBridian idea.
That and lots more coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.